convenience option. Jive.
Jive. We're going to do an option. Jive.
Jive.
Jive. It's 8:16 in the morning. I'm Tom Sosnoff. He's Tom Preston. This is Tasty Live. Thank you for spending the week with us. TP is here till tomorrow. When are you heading back tomorrow afternoon?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. TP's heading back down to Austin, Texas tomorrow night. You'll see him in Geeks next time. We're on the show guesting with Liz and Jenny or...
Yeah, whatever. But the Geeks on Parade, we are filming it, and then it will be broadcast to people who buy the membership.
It's on June 29th.
Not buy. Just get a sign up for it.
Yep. We got a ton of stuff coming out. You're going to love it. Explaining the whole thing. But... let's do this first. We got an option job. I want to go through it because I don't want to run out of time. This is a good one. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
There's a song. Are you ready for this? Defining skewness. Skewness. Only at Tasty will you get a defining skewness with IV and Delta. Defining skewness with IV and Delta. Yes. Skew is a statistical measure of the amount of asymmetry in an otherwise normal probability distribution. And it can be used to quantify negative option tail risk. We don't hit you easy here at Tasty.
Skewness, asymmetry.
Nice little distribution curve. Man, I used to run, not walk away from distribution curves.
This is nice.
So how does option P&L skew change with IVR and Delta for early managed SPY strangles? Let's go to the next slide, John. Skew can generally be positive, negative, or zero. When you look at indexes, they'll have one skew. When you look at commodities, they'll have another skew. When you look at certain stocks, they're going to have no skew at all. We showed you a crazy stock yesterday, Reddit. Also another crazy stock, DJT, with that upside skew like you've never seen before.
Yeah.
You know?
Insane.
Yeah. And the SPY has downside skew. It's just kind of nuts.
Yeah.
A distribution with negative skew will have more events concentrated on the positive side of the mean and a larger negative tail. I take that back. DJT had negative skew and Reddit had the positive skew, right?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Let's go to the next slide. It's going to be fascinating. The larger the magnitude of skew, the more the distribution is distorted relative to normal. It doesn't mean anything's mispriced. It doesn't mean anything's theoretically off. It just means it looks a little distorted. So for distributions with negative skew, a larger negative skew indicates a larger negative tail. That's where you will find the velocity of risk.
Right.
Prior to the crash of 1987, there was no skew. So options, calls, and puts were all priced the same.
Right.
And then we're like, after the crash of 87, we're like, why are we pricing calls and puts the same?
Right.
There's a hell of a lot more risk to the downside.
Right.
And don't crash up.
That was the nature of the pricing models in 1987.
We don't crash up.
You just plug in one volatility for every single option at every single strike.
Yep. Let's go to the next slide. So we did a study. 19 years, TP. 16 Delta strangles, 45 days to expiration, managed to 21 days, classic.
That's when that picture of me came out.
There you go.
I've been doing this that long. Oh my God.
Determine the skew of P&L distribution, the largest loss for trades placed when the VIX is changing from 10 to 40 and Delta's changing from 10 to 50. We have a lot of data in here.
Yep.
This was a crazy heavy study. Let's go to the next slide. So the first thing we're going to show here, the negative skew of the P&L distribution tends to decrease in magnitude with increasing VIX, meaning that the high VIX, the P&L distribution is more symmetric about its mean and less, and has a less negative tail. You want to try to explain this a little
bit? Yeah, so, and that kind of makes sense with our experience, right? When the VIX is high, it accounts for more possibilities in the distribution curve. In other words, it widens out the distribution curve. It makes it bigger and captures those further statistical events. When the VIX is low, it makes those outside events less likely. That's when you get the outlier risk, when you get market surprises, things like that. So it's a higher VIX covers a lot more of the potential. Lower VIX doesn't. That's why you get the asymmetry in the low VIX environment.
Let's go to the next slide. So this is good. For delta dynamics, as the delta moves from 10 to 50, we observe a noteworthy trend. The P&L skew diminishes by 5%, but the largest loss and average P&L both escalate by threefold.
So let's see. If for delta dynamics, as the delta moves from 10 to 50,
yes.
Okay. A noteworthy, the P&L skew diminishes by 5%.
Yes. But the okay. But the average P&L goes significantly higher. It goes up by threefold. Basically, just showing you that, you know, as the delta, obviously, the more risk you take, the more money you make.
That's exactly right. So yes, the average P&L is higher when you sell the 50 delta option, obviously, but the P&L skew is lower. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. Let's go to the next slide. So we compared to trading when the VIX is between 10 and 20 and then trading 40 and plus. We don't get to 40 and plus VIX very often, like, you know, five times in history. But it reduces the skew magnitude by roughly 12x. So what happens here, TP, is that we go from this huge downside risk. When, like, let's say volatility is really low, like it is now. You have this huge velocity of risk to the downside in the SPY. But if we were to have a huge down move in the SPY, like if we crashed, then you don't have as much risk.
That is the counterintuitive point of trading volatility and why we see spikes in volatility as opportunity, not, oh my God, we got to stop trading. Like I was saying earlier, when the VIX is very high, when everybody's panicking, when the market sold off, like in 2008, 2009, that sort of thing, oh my God, the world's falling apart. The market is thinking that all these outliers are actually reasonable events.
Yeah.
You can get rewarded for taking the other side of them. When the VIX is low, you're not getting rewarded.
Yeah.
And that's what's driving
this. That's why the average P&L, when the VIX is between 10 and 20, what it is now, and on the low side, the average P&L is $10 for that strangle. I mean, it's $7.
$7.
And when it's plus 40, it goes to $124 because of the massive premium. But the outlier risk goes to almost, like, it's 12 times less.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's why.
But it doesn't happen very often, but that's why you keep your powder dry.
It's a gift.
Let's go to the last slide. So some of the takeaways. Skew is a statistical measure of the amount of asymmetry in an otherwise normal probability distribution. Like I said, this piece is a little heavy for an option jive, but we like to challenge viewers. The move of delta from 10 to 50 decreases the skew magnitude by 5%, but increases the average P&L and the largest loss. Just, you know, kind of exactly what you would think. But the negative skew of a P&L distribution tends to decrease in magnitude with increasing IVR. So as the market goes down, you're taking actually less skew risk, less velocity risk. Compared to trading when the IVR is between 10 and 20, trading in 40 plus IVR, this is IVR, not volatility. I'm sorry, I should have made this clear. Trading in 40 plus IVR reduces skew magnitude by roughly 12x. Hence the reason we look for high IVR in everything we do.
Which implies high IV.
Yeah.
We aren't just making this stuff up. When we talk about trading volatility and the importance of IV rank and stuff like that, this is the data that supports it.
So
this is quantifiable, definable, you can use it.
Right before we take a quick break, before we go into the opening bell, a little market update. S&P's up 26, we've had a nice little rally. The NASDAQ is up 108. Now both the S&P sold off huge yesterday afternoon and the NASDAQ sold off huge, not this much, but huge. The Dow's up 177 and the Russell's up 16. They're all up big.
Yep.
The bonds are up 5. Those are, I guess, the laggard. And what else do we have in the commodity world? Natural gas down, crude oil down, gold's up $8, silver's actually down. That spread is widening, the gold-silver ratio. And all the commodities that I'm watching on my screen are actually down, except Bitcoin, which is up 1,800, which leads me to take a quick look at Coinbase, which pre-market is trading about $9 higher.
Yep.
All right, we are going to take a very short break here and come on back in less than 90 seconds.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be, trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered